keep waiting.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. Things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant and Radio Alabama Sports. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you here to Classic Country 90.9. Right here live from Monte Alban No. 2 on Ashton Square. We're here for another edition of Football Fiesta as we will go throughout this hour-long show. The first segment here will be looking back at the big victory over the Beauregard Hornets and a game that capped off the region title for the Volunteers, the Region 4, 5A Region 4 title. And then in the second segment, we'll be having our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, presented by Britches and Bows, here today, and that'll be Noah Peterson, offensive lineman, and we'll also have his position coach in here. Coach Jake Phillips will be joining us in the second segment, and then we'll move into our opponent tomorrow night, the Pell City Panthers, and then in the last segment, we'll be looking at our schedule, how they fared and who they play tomorrow night, and also the 5A top 10. So you'll want to stick around right here throughout the show. Good afternoon, man.
What's up, Taylor? What's going on?
Y'all ready to talk a little more football?
I'm ready, man. It just blows me away, though, Taylor, that this is the 10th Football Fiesta.
It is amazing.
It's amazing that this is it. The regular season ends tomorrow night for the Vols.
For the Vols.
Week 9. It's game 10, week 9.
That's confusing.
Explain that one more time.
I can't explain
that. Week 0 gets you, though.
I can't explain it.
Even saying we played week 0, we also played a fall jamboree the week before. And, you know, it's actually it is our 11th game that we watched. But
in week
it's just
9.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That we stand where we're in the way the game
it
is
moves.
Played. But let's look back at the big victory last week, the Volunteers, with a dominant win over Beauregard, 46-22. Actually, those last couple of scores kind of after the game was in hand there by the Beauregard Hornets. So, Coach Herron, first of all, give me your take on the win for the Volunteers.
Well, you know, it was you go down there, and knowing playing at Beauregard is always a little bigger challenge. It's a tough place to play, a good program there, a good solid program. And playing on the road, you know, you're looking to establish some things early. And I thought we did an outstanding job of establishing our running game, and which obviously, you know, when you look at the stats that you'll go over with us later on, but statistically, I mean, our running game, we were able to establish that early and often, and the success of that allowed us to offensively to do a lot of different things and have a little success passing the ball. But man, the running game is really what carried us offensively, you know, this past Friday night against Beauregard. And then, you know, the other side of the ball defensively, being able to limit their running game and their passing yards and, you know, and hold them to where we had held them to, you know, for the most part defensively. Now, a couple of late scores, the score kind of got out of kilter a little bit. And you know, everybody that was there knows those last two scores are just, you know, not really – they are what they are, but we understand the game was well in hand by then. So a very impressive win for Central to go get on the road, finishing up their region schedule 6-0 in region play and capturing their fifth region championship in a row.
Absolutely. Coach Williams, what was your take on the big win?
Well, you know, actually the game didn't start exactly like we drew it up because we mishandled a snap and then kind of bungled it around there, and they recovered it in the end zone and took an early 7-0 lead. But
now, we were already ahead.
We were already ahead after the Damien's long run. That's right. And so we answered that touchdown they made.
But they did go up 7-6.
Yeah,
we missed it.
Yeah, we missed the extra point, and it was 7-6 right there early in the game. And, you know, we really set the tone. Coach mentioned our running game. We had 128 yards just in the first quarter alone. So we kind of set the tone there early in the game. And we had a bunch of long runs. We mentioned the 58-yarder. We had 32. We had some 13, some 10. We had a couple of 18-yard runs all in the first half. And so I think we kind of broke their will there in the first half of our running game, and ended up with almost 350 yards rushing. And, you know, in the past few games, we actually had been attaining more passing yards than we had rushing yards. But this particular game, and I know Coach will talk about the offensive line grades later, but they all graded. They all had extremely high scores. And that would indicate a good running game, and that's exactly what we had against what I thought was a very good defensive front that Beauregard threw at us last week.
Coach Herron, go ahead and talk about those lineman grades. I mean, it's hard to talk about this here and not really go there, because that's where it all started. We thought they would have a challenge. We know they run a 3-3 stack, something we hadn't seen. They do a lot of twists, a lot of slants, a lot of X stunts, and a lot of different things up there that can really present challenge, but the offensive line stepped up to the challenge.
Well, they did, you know, and it was put to them last week. I know at practice with Coach Horn and Coach Chase Horn, and then Coach Phillips, and you know, working on with offensive line there, you know, of the challenge that they had in front of them, and they kind of answered the call and answered the bell there at that, you know, and you look and leading the way and creating the opportunities for those skilled folks to rush for 347 yards last week, and just a tremendous amount of yardage on the ground to be able to get that. That's in 40 rushing attempts, 347 yards, you know, four rushing touchdowns. And those guys did a tremendous job up there as a unit, absolutely their best game, you know, from tackle to tackle, the game that those guys played. And then you get into looking at the individual grades. At right guard, you had J.D. Owens with a grade of 81%. You had our center, Chance Helms, a grade of 82. You had our left tackle, Dewey Brown, also at 82. Left guard, Cole Rice, at 85%. And then leading the way up there, grade-wise, you had Noah Peterson at 89%. And those guys, to have all five guys in the 80s at that level in the blue, you know, good passing grade, and then, you know, 81, 82, 85, and up to 89, a tremendous effort individually out of those guys, and then as a unit paving that way for those 347 yards. And another statistic that we keep up with but we haven't mentioned this year because it hadn't been many up, but kind of because of the style of play Beauregard had, the pinches, the slants, the twists, and all those things, a lot of movement on their front, is pancake blocks. How often an offensive lineman is able to pancake, that means literally knock down and maybe on his back, his side, and have him knocked down on the ground, a pancake block. These five offensive linemen had 13 pancake blocks last Friday night.
That's a lot in one game.
In one game, Coach. That is tremendous right there.
But we were cheating on them. We were getting angles on them run their stuff.
We had some angles, Coach. You know, I mean, that's how, you know, they gave us some of those angles, and we took advantage of it. So, and a very good night of up there. The best night as a unit, the best game that unit has had, and that's how you like to see those guys playing as we've watched them develop from that Jamboree game into the game 9 last week and looking to finish the regular season tomorrow night.
As we continue to look there a little bit, Volunteers had 406 total yards of offense. That's the 229 to the Beauregard Hornets. Total number of plays, we had 52, they're 57. We had two fumbles and lost one. They had one fumble, lost none. We had eight penalties for 53. They had six for 52. We look at a little bit at some individual stats there on the rushing category. LaDamian Boyd, again, a big night. 15 rushes for 169 yards and one touchdown. Soak Gibbons from his quarterback spot had 10 rushes for 84 yards and two touchdowns. We also see Damari Whetstone, two for 13 and one TD. They're getting that touchdown. Also, offensive stat, a rushing stat there for JT Wilkerson, getting a rush for – he actually had a reception and a rush for a touchdown, but he was one rush for 7 yards and a touchdown there. Kevin Cherry also added 9 rushes for 64 yards, and Dalen Houston 3 for 9. If you look at the receiving stats, you know, we didn't throw the ball a ton, but we were pretty accurate with it when we did. Soap was 7 for 12 for 59 yards, 3 touchdowns. As I mentioned earlier, JT Wilkerson had 1 reception for 2 yards and a touchdown. Also, Tyler Boyd, 2 for 22. We go down through there. Zion Ewell had 2 for 13. And Damari Whetstone, 2 receptions for 22 yards and 2 touchdowns. So just an impressive offensive performance. You look at the defensive side of the football, and again, Trenton Glenn with a big night. Trenton had 2 quarterback sacks and a quarterback hurry, giving him the total point leader at 13. So a big night for that young man there on the defensive front as well. If we look at total tackles, Amari Ward coming back with 8 solos and 2 assists. Just looking down the list there at some of the total Amari was obviously, let's see, an assist leaders there was actually one that kind of surprised me a little bit, LaDamian Boyd, but he had to play a lot because Taylor didn't play.
Right.
Had to play safety a lot and still had that run at all those yards rushing, so a big night. Him and also Cam Mullins there with 3 solos. So a big night. Defense played well as well. They were challenged. You know, Beauregard wanted to throw the football, so it got the secondary a lot more involved, and they stood up to the task. But one thing, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the front, the defensive front up there, getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback that really made it tough for them to throw the football.
Yeah, and you mentioned these two guys, Trenton Glenn and Amari Ward. Both of those guys have really come on lately on the, you know, the stat. Score chart every week that they keep, and both of them starting to have good numbers, and that's good when you can kind of spread the work around. That means the unit is working together to get the job done, and you know, we need some other guys to stand out in that area as well.
You know, JT Wilkerson also had 4 solos and 2 assists looking down through there. Damari Whetstone, I tell you, our outside linebackers have just been very impressive throughout the season. If you look at stats throughout the season, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but if you look at those two guys' number of tackles, Damari's had 56 total tackles. JT's had 61 from outside linebacker. That is just impressive performance. They're right up there at the top of the total. So those are guys now. Friday, they end up having to kind of, with that RPO offense, they end up having to kind of stick to the pass a little bit more, that kept them from being up on the line of scrimmage as much as you might normally see, because they had to honor that passing game to the last minute, not making as many tackles for a loss or up on the line of scrimmage, but still making a lot of plays. And Damari Whetstone saying that those two are the point leaders on the season, our two outside linebackers, Damari Whetstone and JT Wilkerson. Damari's got 185 total points, JT Wilkerson at 146. So a lot of strength up there on that, on those outside linebacker spots. As we continue to look, while we're there real quick, I mentioned, I just want to hit some highlights, if I may, before we break this segment.
Sure.
On the season totals, because we hadn't really had a lot of time to share that, I just want to quickly go over that. Looking at rushing totals right now, this is that we talked about the offensive line. We have 3 running backs right now that all are averaging over, and these with a lot of carries now. One of them with 52, one of them with 65 carries, and the Damian Boyd with 118. They're averaging. Kevin Cherry's averaging 7.25 yards a carry. The Damian Boyd's averaging 7.36, and Soap Gibbons averaging 8.71 yards a carry. The Damian Boyd has 868 yards rushing, Kevin Cherry 377, Deshaun Gibbons 566. But that average yards per carry between your main 3 ball carriers, that is a high number.
Oh, that's tremendous. And just, you know, just, yep, hand it to them. Just hand them the ball.
And if you look down through there, we say that.
That's what we're doing.
Exactly, absolutely.
Most people may not realize that Soap has went over 1,000 yards passing. He's at 1,140, he's averaging 13 yards, I think, let's see, averaging 13 yards of completion. His percentage rate is 63.7. He's completed 7 of 110 for 1,140 yards. So that's an impressive thing, too, when you got a 1,000-yard passer and approaching a 1,000-yard rusher right here. So,
absolutely.
And actually, if you look at it, you know, and we continue to play long enough, Soap could approach that 1,000-yard rushing mark.
Sure.
So that is a high number. Looking at receiving stats real quick, Tyler Boyd is the leading receiver with 441 total yards. He is averaging 17.64 yards a catch.
Wow.
That is a high number. But now Caden Glenn's had 7 receptions for 145 yards. He's averaging 20 yards a catch. And Damari Whetstone, with 18 catches now, is averaging 14.6. He's got 263. 4 touchdowns each receiving for Damari Whetstone and Tyler Boyd. So, again, that just some impressive stats when you run down those stat totals. Real quick, I look at Tyler Boyd punt returns. We talk about him. Tyler's averaging 17 yards a punt return.
That's almost 2 first downs.
I mean, and we talk about how much he saves you. Mm-hmm. That's not even included in that.
Sure.
By catching the football.
Sure.
We know there was one, you know, that maybe it was a tough one to get to that kind of put her back against the wall last week, but he does a great job there on that. We talk about extra points. We've had 3 different people kicking them. You know, again, Taylor Boyd came in, looked good kicking a couple extra points last week, but we're 35 for 46, so 76%. On extra points, we'd like to see that improve, but it's not terrible. And looking at the defensive side, I've already mentioned point leaders, Amari Ward being Damari Whetstone, then JT Wilkerson. Amari Ward right behind him with 128 points. Trenton Glenn with 113 and Miles Parker 119. So a couple of defensive linemen up there in the top 5. That's always good to see in point totals. So, and again, on quickly on tackles, Damari Whetstone there, it looks like I'm going with total tackles. He's got 40 solos, 16 assists. Amari Ward, 30 solos, 19 assists. JT Wilkerson, 40 and 21. Taylor Boyd with 29 and 17 from his safety spot. Cam Mullins, 47 total tackles, 20 and 27. We look on down, Trenton Glenn with 19 and 20 for 49. And also Miles Parker there with 40. At 22 and 18. So just some good individual stats that I thought was worth sharing here in this segment. Y'all got anything to mention there about that? I know I took a little bit of time, but just wanted to kind of share some of those rushing stats and average yards of carry is what really stood out to me.
Yeah, when you're averaging those type numbers and it's spread out over 3 different guys, and then a couple of the receivers and what they're averaging per reception, Soap going over 1,000 yards, I think that just speaks to what we've all talked about and we've all seen all year is this offense that Central has, you know, whether it's their version of the spread, the different sets they have there, their wishbone set. I mean, it comes at you from all kind of different ways, a very balanced attack, and there's no one person or individual that you can kind of key on and you know, try to take away, because there's just a very good skill set of folks that can attack you in a lot of different ways.
And we knew coming into the season that was our strength, our skill people, and, they haven't disappointed up to this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take our first break here. We'll get ready for the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week segment, as we'll have Noah Peterson and also Coach Jake Phillips in here, so you'll want to stick around right here on Classic Country 90.9.
Your local real estate professional, Spencer Loveless with Southeastern Land Group, is a Clay County native. Spencer is licensed in Alabama and Georgia and services landowners throughout East Central Alabama. He specializes in selling recreational properties, farms, and rural homesteads. Spencer is also a member of the Poultry South team and is dedicated to helping you get top market value for your property. For a market evaluation on your property, the phone number is 256-283-3198. Spencer Loveless of Southeastern Land Group is the official land agent of Volunteer Voices on Classic Country 90.9.
Hey, Clay County, your Backdoor Feed Store, right next to Piggly Wiggly, just off the square in downtown Ashland, provides feed, farm supplies, plants, gear, pet food, boots, overalls, jeans, and advice for your farm or backyard. Open 6 days a week, 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and 8 to 12 on Saturdays. Your Backdoor Feed Store.
A brisket biscuit. It's more than a tongue twister. It's a taste bud pleaser. Sassy's convenience store in Lineville features smoked brisket as one of their many breakfast items. Sassy's also has bacon, ham, pork chop, and sausage biscuits, and you can even add egg and cheese to any of them. They also have homemade gravy biscuits. Located at 88785 Highway 9 in Lineville, Sassy's is a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9. In business since 2012, Poultry South specializes in helping buy or sell poultry farms. The Poultry South team understands the unique needs of their customers, and PoultrySouth.com is now the go-to web portal for poultry farms for sale in Alabama, Georgia, and throughout the Southeast. The website is PoultrySouth.com. The Poultry South team at Southeastern Land Group is proud to support local radio on Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network.
We welcome you back here live from Monte Albán number 2 for Football Fiesta here on Classic Country 90.9. We've got a couple of special guests that's joined us up here at the table as Coach Herring has forfeited for a little bit his headset. We've got Coach Jake Phillips. Good to have you back, Coach.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me.
It's always good to have the offensive line coach a few times a year, so this is only two, so you did hear me say a few.
Yeah.
But we've got one of your underclassmen here. You only got one senior up there on that defense. We got Noah Peterson, the 6'5", 285-pound right tackle. Good to have you, Noah.
Good to be here.
You're excited about this.
Yes,
I get a little nervous. That's okay. We would expect you to be. I would be nervous too. So, Coach Phillips, we've talked about it, and honestly, you see those grades, and we thought that, and they probably did, Beauregard was going to present maybe the biggest challenge for your offensive line, and they stepped up and did exactly what. It wasn't perfect. No, by no means, that's not what we're saying, but they really had a good night Friday night.
They did, and, you know, we had a good week of practice last week, and I told them Thursday and Friday I thought we had a good week, and I felt like it was going to translate to the ball game, and it did, and I'm proud of them because that was not an easy thing to do what we were doing because 3-3 stack. They were sending them. They were twisting them. I mean, there was a lot of adjusting having on the sideline there. But the boys, they did a great job, and I'm really proud of them because they've earned it.
Well, what are you saying? Noah, we've watched you all week, and I believe I'm right that Noah has blocked in the blue all season. Is
I
that
believe
correct?
So. I believe he has.
He knows.
Yeah,
he did. So that's good. It's not like this is a one-game great performance by Noah. He continues to grow and get better. But what do you think was the difference on Friday night, Noah?
It was just meant more for the region championship and just played as a team and all that.
Absolutely. It did mean more when you know you're playing for – and that's one good thing is I'll kind of go at both of you like that. You know, that was a little bit of a playoff-type atmosphere because you know what you're playing for. You're playing for a region championship. They did too. You're on the road at their place. A lot of people there, a lot of volunteer fans there to get things going. That's a little, it makes it a little extra special. It was a special game to win that fifth in a row, by the way, which was unbelievable. Coach Phillips, what's your take on that? I mean, could you tell that there was just a little bit different?
Yeah, I mean, the energy in pregame was up. I could tell going through our blocks in pregame that we were a little bit more focused than we had been in the past, and our intensity level was there. And, you know, I can look at them and tell if they're picking it up or not, and I could tell in pregame that they were locked in, and the whole team was. It was a special night, and it's hard to win the region, and for us to do it like we have, I mean, that's very unique.
Coach Waynes?
Well, the thing about watching Noah all year, you know, generally when you've got a young man his age and his size, they have a little trouble with their footwork, you know, moving their feet. But I think Noah, you know, he's apparently spent a lot of time in all season drills and works hard on his technique and this kind of thing because he's got good feet. And when you've got good feet, this makes you, Noah, a good blocker because you can get better position on a defender, you know, by moving yourself. And I think a combination of his size and his strength and his footwork that you coaches have developed is the key to Noah's success here.
It is, and I think it was the second game, we put him at the tackles in a two-point stance, We just thought it would be better for them to get to that B gap quicker. And I think that's really helped Noah. And everything you say is correct. He's quick. He can move for his size. And he's very coachable. I mean, and when you tell him something, he's, yes, sir, and I'm going to try to do it the best I can. And that's the mindset he brings every day. He's never negative. He's always positive, and he's always trying to do what we're teaching him to do.
Well, I'll go to Noah here a little bit. Noah, I was able to coach you back in the junior high days a little bit, and I definitely saw a lot of potential in you, and I know what Coach Phillips talking about your willingness, and it's always yes, sir, or no, sir, and you don't get a whole lot else more, and you don't need any more. That's all you asked is effort. But what has been the difference? Obviously, you're a second-year starter. I mean, you end up playing last year, and you're still a junior, which is a really good thing for us as fans and volunteers and broadcasters to be able to continue to watch you play the game. But what has been the difference this year? And I'm talking not just specifically to you, but as the offensive line as a whole. Do you see that you guys have gelled? Thank goodness, you know, the injury bug has stayed away and you guys have been pretty healthy up there and kept that group together. But what do you think has been the difference for the offensive line as a whole?
We're really close with each other, really connected. And even though we got our new coach from last year, we stayed together and just worked as a team and pulled through.
In spite of you, Coach. That's what he just said.
That's all right.
No, he didn't mean that. I know what I mean, because that is a challenge, and I didn't even think about that for the offensive line to get a coach that come over from. Obviously, they knew you. You've been around them, but you know that presented challenges for you and them with a different line. And if we just talk about it, we knew the skilled people we had coming back, but we always talked about the offensive line and defensive line. And when we talk about the offensive line, they have stepped up to the plate. You've done a great job. They've done a great job. And you know, that was the question mark. When you look at the offense, it was on the offensive line, the question mark. And I think that question's been answered and none no better than it was on Friday.
It was Friday, but it was kind of my message to them Monday. We just got to be consistent. I mean, good teams are consistent. That's all we want to be.
Well, but overall, looking at grades, you guys have been consistent. You continue to improve. And I think that's the exciting thing is what you have to have is that offensive line and a team as a whole, but the offensive line really has to improve. And they'll be challenged, I think, tomorrow night. Let's speak to that just a little bit. What do you expect? I mean, a 6A, I mean, we know they're a 6A playoff team. They're a good team. And they have some skill and some speed there with their defensive front. How do you think that will present challenges tomorrow
yeah,
night?
They base out of a 4-2, and I think they're probably going to try to stun us a little bit after watching Beauregard. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to twist us some and run situations and all. And we prepared for that all week. And they got good size up front. They got a boy in 3 technique. He's 6'5". I don't know his weight, but he's 6'5 and something.
6'5", 230 is what I've got him listed
as. He's got long arms. He's trying to get your arms under you and trying to just shed you and make a play. And the 45 is a 1 technique, and he's quick, and he's trying to bull rush the A-gap right there to kind of penetrate pullers and all. And 20, he's an N, and he's a very high-motor guy. There was a film that the play was away from him, and he took off 60 yards down the field and made a tackle. I mean, if he didn't make the tackle, nobody would have. So he plays with a high motor. And then on the other side, 32, probably the best overall on the defensive front. He's great size. He's quick, and he plays good technique. The linebackers, they like to stunt them a lot. And as far as the secondary, they'll play a lot of man and a lot of cover three looks. So it's a good challenge for us. I mean, they got good size and good speed. I mean, and we're going to have to play our best to have a chance to win.
Well, Noah, as we look at that, you know, you got guys up there, a very athletic guy. Looks like probably Jordan Perry, maybe 32, maybe, but you'll get 20, Coaston McCombs, too. Both of those guys, you know, McCombs a small guy, actually, not the huge guy. Neither one of them huge, but we usually ask the offensive lineman that. Would you prefer that under 200-pound fast guy or around 200-pound or a 280 big defensive tackle in front of you?
Probably rather a big guy so I can get my hands on him and just move him and not have to use not a moves on me, just bull rush.
That's the normal answer that we get, and I would expect you to say that, but the good thing is you have the size to match up and the speed and athleticism to match up with anybody you face. Coach Weems, before we let these two go, you got anything that you'd like to share or ask them here?
Well, let me ask Noah this. I, you know, years ago, I coach defensive linemen. And, you know, every once in a while we would have a guy that would play defense that played offense, you know, play both ways. But without failure, every offensive lineman we ever had was always begging, wanting to play defense. And I'm just wondering if maybe you would like to try your hand on defense as well. Or are you satisfied with playing offense?
I'd rather just play offense, but they've said stuff about me playing defense.
I'm going to veto it. I'm just going to.
I'm looking out at some of the defensive linemen in the crowd here and seeing their response to it.
Well, Russ, before you present this, I just want to say, I mean, first time I met with Coach Heron about coaching offensive line, he mentioned it's the team within the team. And, I mean, you got the rest of the offensive linemen here. I mean, these guys care about each other, and they love each other, and they play for each other. And that's just really special to be a part of, because if they didn't trust each other and have that brotherhood within themselves, I mean, it'd be really rough. And I think it means a lot for them being here tonight.
Well, I was going to mention that myself. You look out there, they're at a table together. They come in here to support their owner here a lot of nights, supporting their team. They're a good group of guys. I mean, I know each and every one of them. So you're blessed in that regard with a supportive group. And that's where it starts, people that want to do right and play physical and get after it and play Clay County football like we like it. Right. And it starts up front. You know, a lot of our guys, our offensive line guys, me and Coach Aaron, Coach Williams, done a lot of coaching defensive line, so we really have a heart for linemen, and you know, to see a group like they are and here and supporting each other, that does mean something. What does that mean to you, Noah, to look out and see the rest of your guys out there? And some defensive linemen here looking at you hard, too, like they might let you come over there and visit them sometime down the road.
Shows that they care. They're my brothers. I love them.
You got a brother and some family here too, yeah. I see. So, but anything you'd like to share? I always give everybody a chance before they cut loose. Anybody you'd like to thank or anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Just all my coaches, all my teammates, all my friends, everybody, all my O-linemen, my parents.
Trenton's wanting you to call his name out personally there, I think. But that's good, good. Great job, by the way. And at this time, we'll present Noah Peterson with the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Game for his game against Clay Central versus Beauregard on October the 8th, 2024. And this is presented by Britches and Bowes. Congratulations, Noah.
Thanks.
Great job, buddy. This time, we'll take a break right here from Football Fiesta Live from Monte Alba, number 2 on the Ashland Square.
Honey's Home Cooking. The sound of that probably takes you back to your mom's special dish or those meals at Grandma's house. A meal at Honey's Cafe may not cause you to spend hours in the kitchen, but it tastes just like you did. Located at 60 Park South in Lionville, Honey's Cafe features meats and vegetables that are cooked fresh each morning. Open Sunday through Friday from 10:30 to 2. Their phone number is 256-396-9101. Honey's Cafe is proud to bring you volunteer athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network. From sleek modern kitchens to timeless classic styles, Integrity Cabinets has the perfect solution for every home. Their custom cabinets are designed to fit unique needs and taste, ensuring every detail is perfect. Integrity Cabinets, where quality meets integrity, building something amazing together. The phone number is 256-354-1431, and their website is integritycabinets.com. Integrity Cabinets, sponsoring the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Cook Foods in Ashland is excited to support the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Each year, Cook Foods has an enormous financial impact on our community with jobs at the Ashland location and growers throughout our area. Right now, there are many career opportunities awaiting at cookfoods.com. One could be just right for you. Cook Foods wishes the very best to the Clay Central Vols, cheerleaders, and the marching volunteers this fall. Go Vols!
Hunters, you've waited patiently to harvest a perfect deer. When you finally make that happen, it's time to fill up the freezer from your successful hunt. Matthews Meat Market provides deer processing for our local community. From sausage to steaks, jerky to burger, Matthews Meat Market is ready to help fill your freezer. Located 61272 Highway 49 north of Lionville. The phone number for Matthews Meat Market is 256-396-5694. Open from 8 to 5 Monday through Saturday, except for Wednesdays. Matthews Meat Market, from the local woods to a local table, proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
One stop at Piggly Wiggly in Ashland and Lineville, and you realize their investment in today's youth. From the cashiers to those mopping the floors to the ones taking your groceries to the car, many of those are local students. They're learning what it takes to be a part of a team and the value of hard work. Piggly Wiggly has been providing young folks an opportunity for years, and that continues today. Piggly Wiggly in the heart of Ashland and Lineville, proud to support our local schools and the Radio Alabama Foundation.
We welcome you back here live from Monte Albán number 2 for Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9, brought to you by the Clay Central Sports Network here. Coach Heron, we always like to give you your opportunity as you give up your headset here to those guys. We know you have a special connection to offensive linemen and that offensive line, but just speak a little bit about Noah Peterson, what you've seen this season.
Oh, it's been fun to watch him this year. You know, from last year, he's starting as a 10th grader and you know, getting in there and kind of thrown into it last year. And as he developed last year, made some mistakes early, like everybody does when they first start out playing up there. And then coming into his junior year this year, expecting him to be, you know, a kind of a leader there because of that question mark that area was. But him coming back with that year experience from his 10th grade year and just to be at practice a little bit, you know, as they worked along back through the spring and then through this fall and to see him become what he – The lineman that he has developed into, as far as him personally, and then assisting the guys and helping some of those guys that, you know, stepping into those starting roles new this year and being a big key to how that offensive line has developed and become what they've become this year and as they've led the way there offensively and as the point of that spear. You know, it's very much deserved and proud of him and what he's become. And you mentioned it a while ago, Taylor, that one of the best things as somebody that just enjoys watching him and watching high school football is he's just in the 11th grade. So we get to watch him one more time.
Absolutely.
Whenever, how far this year goes. But we know we get to watch him one more season next year for his senior year. So very proud of Noah. And I know he's got a lot of family and friends that are very proud of him and what he's accomplished and good for him, a good young man.
Absolutely. You mentioned that real quick before we move on, but only one senior on that
That's
offensive
right.
line, J.D. Owens.
That's
there,
correct.
John David, which has done a great job, and we appreciate John David. But then, you know, the rest of them, juniors across the front, so they'll be a senior-heavy offensive line
that's
should
right.
be next year. So that's that should be really good for the Vols.
And that's where, you know, coming back next year, that should be a strength for the team, you know, having those four, those five back. As you'll be losing, you know, several of the skill folks. So, you know, you involved in this season now and accomplishing all we can here, but you look ahead and that'll be kind of the building block and where you start building for next year.
For sure. But let's look ahead to tomorrow night. An interesting thing, and it'll be the first time we think Central High School of Clay County has played Pell City in anything, any sport that we're aware of, but especially football. We played them in junior high, and that's varsity sports. We played them maybe the first year or so of Central. I remember going to Pell City and playing them. But other than that, somebody we have not played. And the Pell City is obviously a 6A team. They come in with a 4-4 record. We also know that when that game was playing, they had a different coach.
They did.
Coach Russ Probst, which most of us all have heard of Coach Probst and know his background, but he decided to step away from coaching there for whatever might be the reason. His son actually still playing on the team's a starter at wide receiver, so he'll be probably around here in Clay County tomorrow night watching that game go on. But as we look at them, you can tell as you watch film and you watch later film, obviously making the playoffs a big step for them, but they are continuing to get better as a football team. And as you watch them, they're a solid football team. They, you know, they're a 6A football team. We know the difference. There's a lot of difference between 6A, and there is a difference between 6A and 5A. Let's go back to Ben Russell and replace that early in the season. So the Pell City Panthers come in. This is a great opportunity for them. They know they're not necessarily picked to win in a 6A team, but they know this will be a big game for them as they get ready for the playoffs in a couple weeks as well. Coach Williams, what's your take on the – again, I got to warn you before you go there. Don't give us your Frank's point of view keys to the game. So tiptoe around that. But
okay.
Share with us a little bit about the Pell City Panthers.
Well, you know, the thing about Pell City, you know, Coach Gentry has come in and taken a team that went 1-9 two consecutive years, and he's got them at 4-4 and in the playoffs. And what's impressive about them being in the playoffs is they're in a region with teams like Clay Chalkwell, Oxford, and Mountain Brook, and Pinson Valley. So, you know, they played against some very good football teams. You know, quite frankly, they played against better people than we have, you know, which you would expect in 6A. But they played some very good teams, and they've held their own with those good teams and dominated the other teams in the region. So that's what impresses me, you know, more than their personnel that we see. But, you know, their offensive line catches your eye, no question. They have great size up there, 275, 280, 275, 285, and the smallest one is 260. So our defensive line, our defensive front, really facing a challenge tomorrow night, and I think that's going to be the key matchup in that game, is their offensive line versus our defensive front.
Well, Coach Herron, we're looking to go 10-0 for the second regular season, the second perfect season in a row for the Volunteers, which is a great feat. What do you expect to see from the Pell City Panthers?
Well, you know, it's an opportunity to go 10-0 again in the regular season, and that's never easy. And the Vols having that opportunity, you know, again tomorrow night. Offensively, going against their defense, you know, and Coach Phillips mentioned, touched on it some, we're going to have that 4-2 front. We're going to see a lot of times. Occasionally, maybe a 3-4, a little adjustment as they move a little bit. We get down into the red zone inside that 20. We're going to start seeing some 5-3 where they're bare front. They'll move those tackles, get them down there in some 3 techniques, trying to take away, you know, everything down in their tight. A lot of straight man defense secondary-wise. A little bit of cover 3 zone back there behind it at times. And in that box, those front 7 guys or 6 guys there in that front box, there not a lot of substitution. It's going to be those same guys, you know, and Coach Phillips went over those with us and kind of what they look for out of those. They're 1-3 techniques, they're outside linebackers. And some stunning out of the inside linebackers, some twists, some slants, that type thing. Some of the things we saw last week a little bit. And one thing that catches right, they get to the football. I mean, those 11 guys on the defensive side, they are running. They're trying to gang tackle. You can tell that they're trying to strip the ball. They play really good team defense and everybody. And they look in, it's a, you know, it's going to present some challenges, as Coach Williams referenced. Just the teams that they have played, you know, are overall, they've played better teams than we have. Being in that region they're in 6A, and Coach Gentry, you know, spoke to that this morning when we talked to him. You know, that's a tough region that they're in 6A, and there's as much talent in that region as any region in the state. And it's going to be a unique opportunity for the Volunteers tomorrow night to come in there and you know, and take on a good opponent after a good effort last week, continue that good effort, maybe looking to correct a few of the things that they had, and hopefully go into the playoffs, you know, in our off week next week, and then into the playoffs on a positive note.
Well, it is a big opportunity for the Volunteers to go to 10-0 in a perfect regular season, but it's not going to be one of those deals that you just show up and it happens. We're going to need a stand full of all fans tomorrow night for senior night. We might mention it is senior night tomorrow night, so all the seniors will be recognized prior to the game. And, you know, that'll also be the band, the cheerleaders, and the Volunteer football team. So that'll be going on, so you want to be there for that. Definitely want to make that. But as always, if you can't make it, you can join us however you're listening to us right here on Classic Country 90.9. We'll take our last break and get prepared to look at our schedule, how they fared, and also the 5A top 10 right here on Classic Country 90.9.
This is Rusty Taylor, the voice of the Volunteers, and I got myself a heel deal.
Hi, this is Coach Jerry Weems. I found myself a heel of a deal at Heel Auto Sales in Lineville.
This is Coach Chris Herron, and I got myself a heel deal at Heel Auto Sales.
Located downtown Mineville, Heel Auto Sales is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Heel Auto Sales, a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Tires are an investment, and you can extend the life of your tires with proper alignment. Highway 9 Tire in Lineville now has a calibrated four-post alignment rack for front and rear alignments. This all-new alignment rack works on the newest models and even the antique cars. The phone number for Highway 9 Tire is 256-396-3040. They also offer a full-time mechanic to keep you rolling down the road. Highway 9 Tire is also your local Exmark dealer and is proud to support Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network.
Harris Plumbing and Electric is your local hardware store in Ashland. They started out specializing in plumbing and electric work, but listened to the community and grew into a hardware store. There's no need to travel to big box stores and wander around trying to find something. Think local. Harris Plumbing and Electric on 2nd Street Northwest in Ashland, across from the Ashland City Library.
Fall is finally here, and Buddy Sports Country has absolutely everything you need to make your upcoming hunting trip a success. They have a huge selection of deer blinds and shooting houses. Buddy Sports Country is an authorized Benelli and Browning firearms dealer, and they have a giant showroom filled with shotguns and rifles, with even more arriving daily. Buddy's is located at 8401 Highway 431 at Hollis Crossroads, where the sales tax is only 6%. The phone number is 256-253-2254. Open 8 till 5. Tuesday through Saturday, Buddy Sports Country is a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network.
The Radio Alabama Foundation is sponsored by loyal listeners and by First Capital Insurance in Lineville. Are you looking for peace of mind? At First Capital Insurance, we've got you covered. From your home to your car to your business to life insurance, we offer tailored coverage that fits your needs and budget. Our expert team is here to guide you through every step, ensuring that you get the protection that you deserve. First Capital Insurance, located at 575 College Street in Lineville. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. With First Capital Insurance, you're not just a policy number, you're family.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta. This is Rusty Taylor. I'm joined by Coach Jerry Weems and Coach Chris Hare. And if you're just now joining us, we've had a couple other special guests. We had our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week from last week here with us, Noah Peterson. And we also had his position coach, offensive line coach, Jake Phillips, in with us. But
if you weren't with us, where have you been?
Well, maybe something. Maybe they, I don't, maybe a late doctor's appointment. Yeah, or something. I don't know. Trying to think what they.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are.
I mean, maybe a doctor's appointment that make you turn the app off or something. I don't know. Right. You know, I think you could get by with it at the dentist, maybe. Right. I don't know. I don't really know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. But as we look a little bit forward and back, Coach Heron, lead us through the Volunteer schedule and what went on last week and who they'll be facing tomorrow night.
All right, we'll look at it. We'll start out with the Hanley Tigers. They improved to 6-3 on the year, 4-2 in their region last week with a 48-21 win over Talladega. And this week they'll be hosting Booker T. Washington out of Tuskegee in their last region game.
That's a big game, right?
It is
there
a big game in that 4A region. It sure is. They all battling for the positions coming out of that region. And that big game there at Wright Field there in Roanoke tomorrow night. The Benjamin Russell Wildcats, they picked up a region win last night, improving their overall record to 4-4, and their region record to 3-2 as they defeated the Pelham Panthers 27-0, and they'll be taking on the Chelsea Hornets tomorrow night, again battling for one of those four spots coming out of their region in Class 6A. The Valley Rams, last week, they drop a game to Hopeful. They lose to Hopeful 27-21, dropping their overall record to 3-5, and in region play to 2-3. And this week they will be hosting the Beauregard Hornets. The team our Volunteers played last week will be traveling to Valley, taking them on. Marbury, the Bulldogs of Marbury, they're at 0-8 on the season, 0-5 in region play after dropping at Elmore County last week 30-7 as they lost to Elmore County. And they'll be traveling to Hopeful tomorrow night. Or they'll be hosting Hopeful, excuse me. They'll be hosting Hopeful tomorrow night, ending their region play. The Sylacauga Aggies opened last week. Their 4-4 record tomorrow night, 1-3 in region play, as they will be hosting Elmore County, rounding up region play for those two teams. Scottsboro at 7-2 on the season, 5-1 in their North Alabama 5A region. They defeated Arab last week, 50-47. Wow, 97 points scored there. Their region play's done, and they are open tomorrow night, have their open week tomorrow night, and they're off. Elmore County, 5-2, 3-2 in the region. As we've already mentioned, they defeated Marbury 30-7, and they'll be at Sylacauga tomorrow night. Hopeful, 3-5 overall, 2-3 in region play. Again, they won. They defeated Valley 27-21.
Which was a huge game.
It was a big game between Hopeful and Marbury, fighting for those 3-4 positions.
If Hopeful wins tomorrow night against Marbury, are they playing Marbury?
They are at Marbury tomorrow night.
So if they win, they're a locked four seed.
They're in. They lock in the way I understand it. That's correct. And then, of course, you've got Beauregard. They're sitting on 5-3, 4-1 in the region after the loss to the Vols last week, where the Vols defeated them 46-22. And they are on the road tomorrow night at Valley, trying to lock up that win there. And they've already, I think, locked up that second place position, getting that home game first round of the playoffs. And then the Pell City Panthers, 4-4 overall, 3-3 in their region as they won last week at Pinson Valley. 48-39 winners there at Pinson Valley over the Indians. And tomorrow night, they'll be right here at Volunteer Stadium taking on our Clay Central Volunteers.
Thank you, Coach Herron. Now we'll go to Coach Weems and let him bring us the 5A top 10.
Okay, not a lot of changes in 5A this week. Catholic of Montgomery maintains the number one position, and they have a huge game tomorrow night against Andalusia. There may be some playoff implications there, particularly for Andalusia. Number two this week, the Central Volunteers move into that second spot, and of course will be hosting Pell City in their regular season finale tomorrow night. The number three team right behind Central is Vigor from down in the Mobile area. They'll be battling BC Rain tomorrow night.
And Vigor has officially won that region as well.
Yeah, Vigor's already in. They'll be playing BC Rain. Not sure where that game is. Number four, Fairview. They've hung around all year up there in the top five, and they'll be playing East Limestone tomorrow night.
I think those four are the only four undefeateds in 5A, I believe.
I think you're right. Number five team is Moody. They'll be playing Lincoln tomorrow night. Number six, they've had a tough fall from number one. They've fallen all the way to number six, Gunnersville, and they'll play Douglas. The number seven team is Corner. They'll play Carver of Birmingham tomorrow night. Number eight, Leeds, and they'll be playing Pelham. The number nine team from in Mobile is Williamson, and they'll play LaFleur tomorrow night. Russellville checks in at number 10 this week in 5A. They'll play Priceville. And then five other teams that receive votes in 5A. You've got Scottsboro, Winona, Demopolis, Northside, and Boaz. So that's a look at the top 10 teams plus five others in 5A football for this week.
Well, before we get off here, let's look a little bit at our region. Obviously, we mentioned it, but let's look at it a little bit. I think you've got it written down there, Coach. The Volunteers have wrapped up the region championship. Beauregard has wrapped up second as well. Elmore County. Who is Elmore County play tomorrow night?
Elmore County is there at Sylacauga.
Okay. So Elmore County needs a win there. Or I actually think they've already wrapped up the third spot. Because they've defeated Hopeful and Valley. So even with a loss, they would still be the number three spot. So the big deal is if Hopeful defeats Hopeful looking to get in the playoffs, we talked about them, a consistent playoff team. Hopeful needs to get a win over Marbury, and if they do, then they'll be in. Now, if they don't and Valley defeats Beauregard, that's what it would take, then Valley would get work its way in. The only other outside team, Hopeful, you know, is the ball is in their court. They you know, it's in their hands. But
if both of them win or both of them lose, Hopeful has the tiebreaker.
It would take a Hopeful loss and a Valley win against Beauregard for that region to change. So an interesting thing there. A lot of people have been asking about the region we face off against. That first round of the playoffs in a couple weeks. Right now, Catholic of Montgomery has wrapped up that, but it's kind of at this point it would be Eufaula. But And I think if Charles Henderson goes on and defeats Eufaula tomorrow night, then it's a lock. Charles Henderson would be the 2 seed. It would keep Eufaula the 4 seed, and Andalusia would be the 3 seed, even without a win against Catholic. That's the way I understand it. That's the way I've seen it. I don't think anybody else can get in. I think Greenville's too far out. It's going to be between those four right now. It's a projection of Eufaula. We would be hosting round one. But that's still yet to be determined, but just kind of giving you the picture. That game tomorrow night, we'll be watching it close, that game against Charles Henderson and Eufaula. Charles Henderson gets that victory, Eufaula will be coming to face the Volunteers. If I hadn't missed something, is that what you guys understand?
That is. That
I
is
think you're
I
correct.
So we'll be watching that game
but even
closely
the,
tomorrow
even
night.
The top seed there, Montgomery Catholic, is not completely locked. Because tomorrow night they play Andalusia, who is at 4-1, and Montgomery Catholic is 5-0.
You're right. It would make a 3-way tie. Too,
right. So that region is actually unsettled technically from 1-4.
It would make a 3-way tie, but I think.
And then it possibly could extend into the next week for tiebreaker situation.
Exactly. That's right.
What is Montgomery Catholic's record?
Overall.
Somebody told me they had the tiebreakers regardless, but I hadn't done that.
No, their record overall is, hold on just a minute, I was right here. Montgomery Catholic's overall record, 8-0, 5-0 in the region.
So they still have another game as well.
But there's a problem there is one of these teams does not play a 10-game schedule. So it's going way down the tiebreaker list if that tiebreaker, way down there. I'm not sure how far down it would have to go.
Yeah, that's what I was reading, and that
yeah.
Because of something to do with that tiebreaker,
right.
it was already be Catholic Montgomery. But the thing about it is we would play the 4 seed, but that could make it a 3-way tie is what it could for first.
But it could also make it only a 2-way tie. If Andalusia beats Montgomery Catholic, they would both be 5-1. And if Eufaula beat Charles Henderson, Henderson would be 4-2. And Eufaula would be 4-2, so you'd only have Andalusia and Catholic at the top,
that would
be head to head, right?
If that loss,
so yes,
still
and Andalusia would be 1 if they win.
Yeah, it's all still up in the air.
Well, if they win in a loss by
right,
Charles
and a loss by Henderson, so
yeah.
You know,
so a lot.
Lot to be settled.
Lot to look at, and then
we can't control all that.
No,
but
no.
Then the next week. If you continue to roll down, whoever's in our spot in the playoffs will be facing off against the number 2 seed out of Region 1, which is Williamson. And then the number 3, the winner of that game, the number 2 seed and the 3 seed out of the Region, what is it, 2 or 3? That's 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even have a clue who that might be. In the Demopolis and those guys region.
Shelby County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
Who's 7-2 at this time?
Projection that would be Williamson.
Yeah.
But we're just projecting.
Way down the road.
And right down the road, but it's fun to talk about.
So. We let it get played out and get that bracket set, then we'll tell you probably who's going to win it all.
Well, we know who we're planning on winning
Absolutely.
It all.
Absolutely.
Right,
exactly.
Coach Herron, as we get ready to close, what do you got to close us out here?
Hey, I just, you know, wow, can you believe it's the regular season, it ends tomorrow night. That's absolutely amazing. It's been a 10-week run of games, 11 count the jamboree. Crowds have been tremendous. Let's come out senior night tomorrow night, recognizing all the seniors involved with football, basketball, football, cheerleading band, all those folks, and a chance to have an undefeated regular season for the second year in a row. And looking for a great crowd. Weather should be outstanding. And in the regular season on a good positive note there at Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're not planning on playing basketball till mid-December,
yeah,
by the way.
That's right.
Coach Waynes?
Well, you know, like Coach said, it's a season finale. We've got a chance to finish undefeated again. And we're playing a good football team in Pale City. And it's senior night. So... And it's going to be a comfortable evening. It's not going to be too cold. It's not going to be too hot. The weather's going to be ideal when it gets dark. So, you know, if you're here and you're able, make it a point to get out there and see this team tomorrow night. And every home game this year, we've had tremendous crowds there. And I expect no difference tomorrow night.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's been a good football fiesta. Thank you to Coach Herron. Thank you to Coach Weems. This is Rusty Taylor.
Next week, no fiesta.
Football. We're going to skip football fiesta.
We're taking the week off, will
we? Because we don't play next Friday, so we'll still have the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week. We'll just award them the following week at football fiesta, the playoff week. Good job. Good to hit on that and make that be known. For sure. Again, as they've said, make sure you join us at 6:30 for the Coosa Valley Orthopedics at Coosa Valley, at Sports Medicine at Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show tomorrow. You can catch Frank's point of view, keys to the game, and we're talking about coming to the game. I can give you a Blair's Family Farm and Market weather report, no rain.
There you go.
It hadn't rained in a month. Why would it start tomorrow?
Yeah, why is it going to start tomorrow?
Join us for that. Also, as always, on Saturday mornings, we'll be bringing you Volunteer Voices. Myself and Tommy Wood will be right there to bring you all of that action and to recap the game from tomorrow night. We'll also – all right, go ahead.
And a little extra.
You keep having something else.
No football next week, but the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network, a special presentation on Thursday.
We will be bringing the sectional there, the cross-country sectional with 1A, 2A, 3A and 5A events, and 5A I think is going to run first, by the way. So we're planning to bring you all of that live from Central High School of Clay County there on Thursday morning. Our airtime will go on as normal with a three-point stance at 8 o'clock, and then we'll go right in at 9 o'clock. The races will start, and I think that's what time the 5A's girls race will be, from my understanding. So that's another good mention right there. As always, you can join the three-point stance each and every weekday morning from 8 to 10 and catch more about volunteers and all kind of sports in general all the way up to professional. So join them right there each and every weekday morning. Again, Volunteer Voices on Saturday morning, myself and Tommy Wood from 8 to 10. And then tomorrow night, catch volunteer football right here on Classic Country 90.9. Until next time, God bless and go Vols.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. Thanks for listening to Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant. Follow the Volunteers all season long on the official home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. On Classic Country 90.9, the Clay Central Sports Network Facebook page, and the Radio Alabama app.